Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Dear friends, memories can be a powerful tool to use. And we're making memories this morning here at Peace. And as I think about memories and how they work in our lives, I think they really have two things that they can do to us that are very powerful memories. The first thing that a memory can do is it takes us out of our present reality and takes us to a past time, back when things were beautiful, back when things were just right. Maybe you've experienced that where memories are shared and everyone's just taken back, transported back in time. It oftentimes happens in funerals. As a pastor, I see it often. As people are gathered together and the service ends, there's a time of sharing of memories with the person that has died. One person stands up and shares a humorous joke that was between the two of them. Another person talks about the time they dressed up at a costume party and looked kind of wild and crazy. And another person talks about a trip that they took with that person. What happens, and I've observed this as a pastor, is that all of a sudden people are taken back to another time. And everyone's relaxed. The service sometimes is a little intense, lots of perhaps grief and crying. But when those memories are shared, smiles appear. And people get a little more relaxed. Memories do that. They take us back in time to the past. You've experienced that, I'm sure. But memories can do something else, my friends. Far more powerful. Memories can take us to the past. But when a memory is so powerful, it can actually transform our present reality and the future to come. When I was thinking about that, I actually think the best way to describe this in a simple way is how a grandparent becomes holds their grandchild, the very first grandchild, for the very first time. Do we have any grandparents that have done that before? Yeah, a few. I saw my mom do that. And actually, the first time she did it, that grandchild that was right in front of her, she was scared. What if that baby doesn't like me? What if that baby spits up on me or starts to cry? There was a lot of fear in that moment. And she kind of held my sister's daughter very awkwardly. It just didn't look right. Something powerful happened, though. My mom had a memory from a long time before that she had held a child. And that she had, in the midst of lots of crying with that child, she was able to soothe that child. And you see, the power of that memory did something that no other memory, not few memories can do. You see, it took her to the past, and it transformed her for what was right in front of her. See, she relaxed and said to herself, I've done this before. I can do it again. And she soothed that child. Memories can do that. Memories take us to the past and then transform us forever in the present and the future. Dear friends, consider Jesus' ministry as one of making memories with his followers. In fact, that's the word that he uses often with his disciples. Jesus says, remember. One last time with his disciples in John chapter 14, Jesus can give them a final charge. And the word that he says to his disciples in John 14 is this: remember the memories. Remember the times that I was with you in the early morning that we prayed together, John and James. Remember the moment that I raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember that, Bartholomew. Remember Mary and Peter, the time that I fed 5,000 people. Remember Andrew, the time that I taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And as he gathered his disciples for one final meal, there was the bread and there was the cup, and Jesus said, do this in my remembrance. This is about memories that Jesus is creating. But today, we see the greatest life-giving memory that Jesus gave his disciples in his final act on earth. Jesus had died on the cross on Good Friday, and the women show up to the tomb expecting to see the tomb closed and the stone in front, and they expect Jesus' body to be inside. But see, when they get there, it's the exact opposite of what they are expecting. They go to the tomb, And the stone has been rolled away, and Jesus' body is not there. And a young man in dazzling white says these words, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He has risen." That took 10 seconds, that moment that Jesus left. An enduring memory for his followers for hundreds of years to remember and recall. Dear friends, as we gather here this morning, this last memory is one for us. Jesus is laying it out there for you, the empty tomb. And what we must decide is this. Is this a memory that just takes us back to the past and we kind of warm our hearts and feel good about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago? Or is this a memory that takes us to the past and transforms our present and future forever? I think we know the answer this morning. That's why you're here. But you know the world, a word of caution. The world would like to say this memory didn't happen. It's a farce. It's a fairy tale. There's no way Jesus rose from the dead. But he did. Callie read, 500 people saw the risen and resurrected Jesus. The first eyewitnesses were women. No one would make that up. And these disciples were willing to go to death for one simple teaching, that Jesus had risen from the dead. It transformed them. It was something special for them. Dear friends, that reminder, the empty tomb, is also for each one of us. And it transforms us. You see, in our life, we face obstacles that we think that we can no longer go. We don't think that our present or our future could turn out very well. It could be a whole bunch of assortment of things this morning in our congregation. It could be a sin that happened in the past, and it keeps us from moving forward. It could be a relationship at work that blocks us, and we just don't know how to move forward, or a relationship in family, even this morning, gathered together, that we can't move forward. Broken relationships, broken families, broken. And you see, what happens in that moment is not just a sin. See, what happens in that moment is that we no longer live in the present. And we no longer think with hope for the future. Because the past has been destroyed, our present is destroyed, and our future is destroyed. God is saying to us this morning this: remember, my son. Remember the empty tomb. It's a life-giving memory that he's giving. Your sins have been covered. Jesus gave his life so that you could have eternal life. Jesus paid for your sins so that he could do this, so that he could be the author of your life. A broken childhood, it's changed. You're a child of God. A broken family, it's changed. You are in the family of God. Nothing can change that. What Easter is about is this. The author of your life is not sin, brokenness, and the past. The author of your life is Jesus, the one who conquered the grave and who can overcome all obstacles in life. He's writing your present and the future eternal life that you will be given. How many card players do we have here this morning? Got a few, yeah? I love cards. You know what makes me really excited about playing cards is when I get that highest card of the suit that counts. That makes me a little more confident and happy about the hand that I'm about ready to play. It often happens that I'm not dealt a very good hand, but I've got that one card in my hand that can change everything and completely change the outcome that is going to come. And a couple hands are played and I'm losing, it's not going so well. I'm still confident because I know that in just a second I'm going to play that one card and everything is going to turn around. I love that when I have the card and my opponent thinks he's going to win and I'm like, hey, I got the card, I'm going to win, it's going to be great. The author of your life has placed that card into your hand. That doesn't mean life is easy. and simple. It means that there are challenges in life, undoubtedly. But what it means is that when those challenges come, it cannot consume us, because we can take that card out of our hand, the empty tomb, that last memory, and it overcomes all, even death. If you're grieving a loved one today, remember you've got that card and your loved one has that card. Jesus overcame the tomb. And because he was the first one raised from the dead, he opened it up for all believers to follow him. Today is about memories, precious memories. We want them for you here at Peace. What a blessing it is this morning, the Easter cross. Take a picture today. There's a memory. A child picking up an Easter egg for the very first time. How precious is that? A banner, a new banner here at Peace. Awesome. Easter ham dinners, memories to be made today. But let us never forget the memory that Jesus gave, the last enduring act that he gave in his life, his earthly life, the gift of the empty tomb. John, James, Mary, Peter held on to that. It helped them overcome every obstacle in life. And for many members of this church and the churches of Philomath, that one card and that one memory has helped them overcome everything. And that card is for you. The author of your life, Jesus, is going to write your present condition, your situations. And he's also written your future life, a life with him in eternity forever. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you for that last memory, the empty tomb. Amen. Now, having heard the good news of Jesus, that he's conquered all, we now take a moment to gather our offerings, our Easter offerings this morning.